Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the tire.
Hi, and welcome to Unleash Your Extraordinary Potential with Jessica Aaronworth. I want to welcome you all. I have a fantastic guest in the studio with me today. Her name is Sarah Lambrexson. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Jessica.
How are you? How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. I am so excited to be here.
And I am so excited to have you. Sarah has an amazing story, and she has really unleashed her own extraordinary potential through ups and downs that life gives. So, you know, the truth of the matter is that no matter who you are, we all house this extraordinary potential. And most of us do not know how to unleash it. Most of us are not given the proper tools to learn how to live up to our potential. And most of us are told that we can't, that we should follow societal norms and do what the proper things to do are and not go for our dreams and not be all that we can be and not figure out who it is we really want to be. Sarah, you have challenged the norm on all of this. Tell us a bit about your life and where you've come from and how you've gotten to where you are, because you run an amazing blog called The Single Mom Survival Guide.
I do. Thank you. Yes. Well, first of all, as is clear from the title of my blog, I'm a single mom. I have a beautiful 5-year-old little girl. And a lot. And I had a pretty okay upbringing. My childhood wasn't great. I had to overcome a lot of issues there. And if you read my blog, you'll be able to tell that there was a lot of struggles and domestic violence and things that were going on. That path led me to a point where I chose a relationship subconsciously that I was familiar with. So my marriage was also full of domestic violence and emotional abuse and things. And 2 years after the birth of my daughter, I found myself in a space where it was either make it or break it. And I was far away from my family. I didn't know a lot of other single moms. I was searching online like crazy for resources for single moms. And all I was really finding were blogs about how to make meals on food stamps or how to, you know, find housing or how to do that. And no one was really talking about the emotional things I was experiencing. And I decided that instead of continuing to search for that, I was going to create that space. And because of that, I have met so many incredible people, and my life has been filled with inspiration and opportunities to serve others in ways I never thought possible, because I made the decision to kind of break out of what everyone was telling me that I was worth, which was not a lot.
And I think that that's fantastic. And I know, you know, I know bits of your story, and I know that it took a lot of courage to break out of where you were and get to where you are now.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
And the struggles never cease to exist. I think one myth that people really face is that to have a, you know, happy and fulfilled life, it shouldn't have to go up and down. There shouldn't be twists and turns, and you should just be happy all the time. But the truth of the matter is that the happier and more fulfilled your life is, sometimes those ups and downs get bigger just because you're taking more chances and bigger risks to meet your goals.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I had the most incredible experience just this last week. You know, we all grow up with thinking patterns, whether they come from our parents or whether they come from our teachers. Some are good and some aren't so good. And I had this experience where I was caught in this mind loop, that I call it a mind loop, where I kept coming back to this belief that I couldn't do something because I didn't see all of the resources that I thought I needed to move forward right now. And I was struggling because while I didn't see these resources, I felt so convicted that I had to do this thing. And I kept asking myself, okay, how am I going to do this? You know, who can I talk to? Is there a mentor? Is there, you know, a book that I can read? And I finally came to this point where, and I think everyone who gets to the point where they feel like they can see their own potential and they're on the verge of unleashing that, they're on the verge of launching something transformative, not only in their own life, but others, has experienced this, where you have to make this choice. Am I going to continue this thought pattern where I don't, I can't, there's not enough, and choose to, in a way, take a leap of faith and say, I know that I'm supposed to do this. I don't exactly know where all the resources are right now, but I believe that those resources are coming to me, or that they're around me and I just can't see them yet. And when I decided to make that mindset shift, things started literally falling into place. And that's happened on a smaller scale before, but this last week, to see these things happening in my life have been incredible.
That's amazing. Yeah, I find that when you are, you know, on that authentic path and doing what really feels right for you, and that can be really challenging, and that is really challenging because there's so many different voices going on within you and within the world around you that are thrown out because there's so many other paths that may be safer or may come with less risk or more known factors. So it's really interesting that you say that once you decided to take that leap and really trust within yourself and trust within the process, things started coming together.
Yeah, they did. And they did in a big way. And that's what keeps motivating me to do what I'm doing, you know, to share my experiences, to share my story, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, some people don't want to hear, you know, what goes on a day-to-day basis in a single mom's life. And there are other people, you know, who message me or make a comment on a blog post that say, oh my gosh, thank you so much for telling the realities of what this is like. That means so much to me. I don't feel alone anymore. And that's really, you know, my goal is to help people feel connected, because the sense of community, whether it's in person or online, is really, I think, it just from what I've seen in my experience, helps us to, number one, not isolate ourselves, but number two, stay connected to this, I don't know, I'd call it energy, I guess, that we need to tap into every once in a while. It's this cycle of, you know, releasing our fears and then receiving encouragement or love. And that cycle, you know, at least in my own life, is what keeps me going.
Yeah. And I love the way you say, you know, you release the fear and you allow the love in, because a lot of the time they don't necessarily live together. You know, fear has this way of pushing love out and creating all sorts of conflict and negative emotions, either within you or within your world, because I do believe that they are a reflection of the same thing.
Yeah, I agree. I tend to think of it kind of in music. I grew up playing the piano. My mom started teaching me when I was 3, and I've picked up multiple instruments along the way. It's very healing, but I think of it in terms of there's a chord. It's if you play middle C and you go up 2 additional notes, so 1 and 3, it's this dissonant chord, and it doesn't sound happy. And I see fear and love that way, that they're different. Some people in the New Age sphere will call it vibrations. You know, other people call it energy. Other people call it other things. But I literally see it as 2 notes or vibrations that can't sustain, you know, long-term compatibility. You eventually, in a song, you know, have to change the melody from something melancholy to, I mean, some of my favorite classical songs are things that start in a minor key and end up in a major key. And it's that major key that just, you know, at least in my own life, kind of lets my mind and heart, you know, soar with the music. And I think life is the same way. You know, we've got to change those minor keys, you know, those lower vibrations to something positive. And not to be cheesy or make a pun here, but literally make major shifts and changes in our lives.
Yeah, I really agree with that. So when you talk about different people asking you different questions and just being really appreciative of the honesty that comes from your writing and the things that you do, what are some things that you find have really struck a chord with people? I think sometimes in our world we keep everything hidden and it becomes a secret, And that really serves no one well, because we end up hiding the most painful parts of ourselves. And then when other people come up and experience the same things, they feel so totally alone and have no one to turn to. And that's why I love the Single Mom Survival Guide, because there is someone to turn to. There are other people going through the same thing.
Yeah, I loved what you just said about making things secret. I'm not sure if you have read this book or the listeners have read this book, but I, especially for women, I highly recommend a Jungian book written by Clarissa Pinkola Estes. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. The book is called Women Who Run with the Wolves.
Yeah.
And she uses Jungian archetypes and combines them with old myths and stories that, you know, we're familiar with, maybe in some different forms. And one of the most poignant stories that she illustrates this psychological pattern of secrets with was, it was actually something that I read that changed my life. And if you'll allow me, I'll just summarize real quickly. Basically, this fairy tale is about a young woman who ends up in a bad relationship. It's this beautiful woman with almost Rapunzel-like, you know, long hair, this blonde, beautiful hair. And this relationship, in the story, it happens literally, but obviously, as archetypes are, they're illustrations of things in our psychology. The male figure, her husband in the story, ends up killing her and burying her next to the river. And this is symbolic of the secrets that we keep and bury and try to hide away. And what happens in this fairy tale is that her beautiful long blonde hair ends up growing into these, you know, beautiful reeds. And as the wind, you know, blows through these reeds, the people of the village can hear this young woman singing, and they end up finding out what happens to her, and the secret comes to light, and then, you know, she can rest in peace, and the village, you know, knows what happens. And that's kind of a gruesome story, but it illustrates perfectly what happens, you know, in the darker parts of our psyche and subconscious, which is when we bury secrets, so when we bury our shame and our fear, we, in a way, bury parts of ourselves, and we lose a part of ourselves. And it's in sharing those dark things that we're afraid of with others that we can find light in others. And I think that that's what people are responding to when I share the not-so-pretty parts of co-parenting, or the not-so-comfortable or pretty parts of the effects of domestic violence, that people say, I have that same secret, or I have that same fear, or I have that same shame and guilt, and you have worked through it. And because I can see that, because I can see a path, maybe not the exact same path, they feel confident that they too can overcome the shame and the guilt and the fear. And what's interesting, and I'm sure that you've experienced this too, is when I pull the covers on those dark and dirty secrets and I release the fear, those people are saying, thank you, you've helped me. But in turn, it's this beautiful cycle, because they're filling my cup. You know, they're saying, thank you, this has helped me. And it's a wonderful, you know, feeling to know that you've reached someone that you've never met and that their life is better because you let go of your fear and did something that was difficult for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the more we keep things in, the bigger it tends to get. And we think and we feel that if we keep it in, it'll eventually go away. But really, it never does. And domestic violence itself is such a huge issue. Where we are starting to talk about it more as a society, but still not enough. And I think there's a large misunderstanding of what it is really like to be in a domestic violent relationship. When we think about it, a lot of it comes, and you tell me if you agree with me or not, Sarah, but I know that in the work that I do and have done, a lot of it comes back to patterning and that dance that we do with that other person, whether it's our partner, our spouse, a parent, a child, in any form. I think when Rihanna came out with that song, and I know it's old news, but I think it's worth having a discussion about. You know, after her and Chris Brown, that news report came out, she released the lyrics to her song, and I'd love to get your take on them. Sarah, are you game?
Yeah. Yeah, sounds good.
So her lyrics are just gonna stand there and watch me burn, but it's all right because I like the way it hurts. Just gonna stand there and hear me cry, but that's all right because I love the way you lie. I love the way you lie. And I know that when those lyrics came out, I really searched them out on call boards. To see what some of the comments about the lyrics were, because I was so disturbed by them. Not that they shocked me, but it definitely was disturbing for me. And when I read a lot of the comments, I was even more flustered because a lot of the comments were agreeing with her and agreeing with love does hurt. You know, it's such an intense relationship that sometimes violence happens. And I felt shocked that this was the majority of the comments that I was reading. What are your thoughts on those lyrics and the knowing that this is how people, not everyone, but some people perceive what love should be?
Well,
and we've just gone so totally heavy.
Yeah, no, what's interesting, and I don't mean to hijack your question. What's interesting to me is I actually experienced listening to those lyrics in terms of multiple relationships, and not all of them were romantic. Some of them
right.
were professional. Some of them were friends. I, as most people do, tend to look through or see art, whether it's music or, you know, photography or things, through my own lens. I, you know, project my experiences onto everything, and, you know, everyone does that. I relate to those lyrics in the sense that I did not realize that I thought that love was pain. I didn't realize that until I chose out of a second attachment, a love attachment. You know, my first love attachments were my parents and my family. My second love attachment was my ex-husband. And I don't think healthy love is the kind of love where you are okay with people lying, or you're, you know, okay with it, you know, escalating to the point where people are throwing fists. I am at a point now in my life, and try to help people to see this in their own lives, that kind of quote unquote love is codependency. It's not love where you feel like you have to have someone in your life so bad that you get angry and enraged and, you know, you want to hurt them. And that's not healthy. And like you, it makes me really uncomfortable because I know people that think that that's what love is, and they continue to choose, you know, if they're not staying in an abusive relationship, they choose another abusive relationship and another one because they believe that that's what love is. And my mission in life is literally to help people understand that that is not love, and to learn to love themselves first and understand what that love is like, so they can be prepared for a relationship where they're not codependent, where they recognize that the other person loves themselves and doesn't need another person to show them what they're worth or to love them. And I feel like if I can do that, you know, I started with myself. I'm teaching my daughter that, and now I'm helping others do that, that the world will be a better place because, you know, people will see what healthy relationships are. They'll have healthy love for themselves, and then they can share that love with others.
Yeah, I totally. That is an amazing mission. And I love it. I have a similar mission, and it's so nice just to be able to help others find that missing piece within themselves, which creates a life of misery and lack. There's really no better words for it. There's a lot of healing to be done. And the interesting part, and I find the best part about creating love within yourself, is that it never ends. You never reach an end point because you can continue to go further and further and further.
Oh my gosh, I totally agree and feel like that completely ties in, you know, with unleashing your potential. I have experienced in my own life these stages of it's not like, you know, you discover your potential and, you know, overnight you're creating the next social network or something. It's been this process of, you know, loving myself enough to get out of a relationship, and then areas of potential in my life opened up. And then, you know, when I launched this blog, it was so scary. I had no idea how to design a website. I had no idea what blogging was other than writing, and, you know, and I'm still learning this process. But when I loved myself enough to let go of fear, more, it was almost like more of my potential showed up, you know, for lack of describing it another way. It's almost like you know, I'm in a candy store, you know, and like I love myself, and I'm like, okay, I've overcome this obstacle. I've let go of some fear. Oh my gosh, there's this new candy, you know, I get a take from the candy store. Sorry for being goofy, but that's kind of, you know, what I feel like right now. It's unleashing your potential by, you know, healing your emotional blocks is one of the most joyful and exhilarating experiences I've felt next to holding my baby for the first time. So,
So let's flip gears here a little bit. I saw on your Facebook maybe something about essential oils and emotions, and you know that I am, you know, all for using healthy emotions and figuring out new and interesting ways to get through and release emotional blocks and fear and really perform at your highest potential. So can you tell us a bit about what you're doing with the essential oils and emotions?
Sure. Well, just to give you a little background, having been through the traumas that I have, obviously sought out some personal care with therapy, and I've taken some medication and things, and those things have worked to a certain extent, but I never felt whole again, if that makes sense. And yep. There was a part of me that kept searching for this wholeness. You know, I knew that, you know, those traumas would never go away, but I was searching maybe for a release and hoping that, you know, parts of myself would come back. So I had tried using essential oils a couple of years ago and kind of had the experience of, oh, that smells nice, and didn't really feel much of a benefit. It was kind of the same experience I had with some medication that my doctor had put me on. And so I was, you know, disappointed, and I continued trying to do yoga and meditation, and all of those things helped. And then the other day, I don't know if this ever happens to you, but, you know, you'll write things down, or you have a thought or a wish or something, and it's kind of filed in the back of your brain. And I woke up one morning and had a thought that I should try essential oils again. And I was like, oh, okay, well, we'll see how this goes. And I talked to a mom from my daughter's school who was going through cancer, and she also had MS, and she just was so upbeat, and she had a healthy glow about her. And I, you know, knowing what I have known personally with, you know, people in my own life who've battled cancer and things, that was just something I hadn't seen. And then, we talked about it briefly, and, you know, she gave me a catalog of things to look through, and we had talked about it. But then I had one of those moments that I just described earlier in the show where something very traumatic happened. I got some news about something that had happened to my daughter that she was too young to articulate clearly but had said enough. And so when the news of this came, I was so shaken up about it that I couldn't function. I couldn't think. It was in PTSD talk, it's fight or flight. My fight or flight kicked in, and I couldn't function, and I held her all night and cried. It was really awful, actually.
And
I called this lady and I said, I know that you don't know me, but I cannot get out of this. You know, I did what I've just described, except not, I didn't write about it yet. I told her what was going on. I pulled the covers on those fears and let myself be vulnerable to someone. And she immediately grabbed some essential oils. And she also did this bio scan on me that told me exactly what my body needed. Instead of just using, you know, the essential oils that I thought smelled nice or might help, it told me exactly what my body needed at that time. And I went home, I started using them. And that night, for those of you familiar with yogic thought or meditation, if you're familiar with the term kundalini energy or chakras, I had this incredible experience where my root chakra literally heated up. My back was on fire, and I had some energy kind of radiating down the backs of my legs, and I felt so grounded. It's something, the closest thing that I've felt in regards to that has been in a restorative yoga class with a yoga master that came from India, and I was so at peace, and it felt wonderful. But this experience that I had was essentially a kundalini awakening, and it's part of a healing. It's part of healing energy, and it was so transformative for me that I really started doing my research, and I really used essential oils, again, that my body needed, and started to see results right away. I had my daughter scanned, and both she and I, who have had problems sleeping because of nightmares and anxiety and things, we have been sleeping like babies the last week, and it's really improved our waking relationship. We're both happier. We're both respond to each other better. It's been this really interesting experience, and so I wanted to share that with people who are also seeking an alternative to what they've tried already and haven't had success with, because this worked for me, and it was wonderful. It was a wonderful experience, and I can't wait to learn more about it and to help people to use essential oils in this emotional way, because, you know, people, I think, mostly think of them in terms of aromatherapy and things like that. And don't really think about the emotional aspects of the essential oils as well.
Yeah, I think that misconception, again, that emotions only come from your mind or your thoughts, because really emotions come from everywhere, your whole body. So whatever you do to promote the health of your physical body, the health of your emotional state, the health of your thoughts, the health of your behaviors, everything funnels in. And I've heard of essential oils doing amazing things when it comes to emotional health and physical health.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
So we have a few minutes here. If there is anyone who wants to call in and ask Sarah any questions about anything that we've discussed today, whether it be domestic violence, whether it be essential oils and emotions, or whether it be something that I don't know. Well, I guess, about your own extraordinary potential. So if you'd like to call in and ask some questions, now is the time. So when we talk, and we've talked about this a little bit, actually, before I go there, Sarah, how can our audience find out more about the work with essential oils that you're doing now?
I'm going to be writing some blog posts. If they would like to attend the class, they can go to my public Facebook page, which is Single Mom Survival Guide, and click on events. The link will be there, and they can join that class. They can also email me if they would like. My email is Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, dot Lambrexen, L-A-M-B-R-E-C-H-T-S-E-N, at gmail.com.
Perfect. And is the class free or is it a paid class?
Nope, this class is free. There's no obligation. I'm not going to tell you, you know, go buy from a certain company. I just literally want to share some really powerful information about emotions and essential oils.
Amazing. Thank you. And that should be really helpful for a lot of people. So go to Sarah's Facebook page and reserve your spot today. So when we talk about potential, what does that mean to you, Sarah?
I think I touched on it a little bit earlier, but for me, potential is any untapped possibility. So for me, there's untapped creative potential, and there's untapped emotional potential. In regards to my daughter, with the emotional potential, and I'm sure, you know, as you've experienced this, as she gets older, my potential to love her increases. So it's any increase in someone's ability to do good in areas of their life or in others' lives.
Nice. I like that definition.
Thanks.
So for you, what has been the one thing, or it could be a few, that has helped you unleash your own extraordinary potential?
I think the number one thing has been to face my fear. It never fails. If it's fear of failure, fear of success, fear of, loss, whatever it is, if I face my fear and have a little faith, and I don't necessarily mean that in a religious aspect. When I let go of fear, I open the door wide open to tap into my potential.
Yeah. So when you tap in to your potential and you know that you are truly making waves in a good way, how do you feel? How does that make you feel?
I'm facing a fear right now of people thinking that I'm a goofball, but I feel
we can actually lay that fear to rest, Sarah, because from what I know of you, you are, but in the best way possible. Because without
Thank
being
you.
A goofball, you don't have any fun. And if there's one thing I've learned in life, fun is one of the most important aspects, because it brings so much joy and happiness to your life. And I wish that you are a goofball every day so that it can bring the joy and happiness to you every waking moment.
Thank you. I will embrace my potential to be even more of a goofball.
Awesome. That's what I want to hear.
I was going to say, it feels like what I imagine jumping out of a plane would feel like, or finishing a marathon would feel like. It's a wonderful, wonderful place to be.
That's amazing. And really, the reason I ask you that is because there's so many people, and a lot of our listeners probably, who haven't found their way of unleashing their own extraordinary potential yet. And even those that have found a way of unleashing that potential, none of us are ever at our pinnacle. There's always more to go, more to learn, more to grow. So just knowing that when you are unleashing that potential, it drives those feelings of happiness and joy and motivation and energy. And I think that's really important for people to understand, because when you work past those emotional blocks, there's so much goodness underneath that it makes it worthwhile to move past them.
Absolutely.
So what advice do you have to give people who are trying to unleash their extraordinary potential and maybe, you know, are stuck in their fears or the shoulds or woulds or coulds? What advice would you give to them?
I think the most important advice I would give to someone is learn to listen to your intuition. I think fear and trauma block that powerful inner voice. And when we learn to trust ourselves and trust our inner voice, we begin to make choices that lead us down our most authentic path. And when we're on that authentic path, it's like more and more potential is unleashed. And so my advice, cultivate and learn to trust in your intuition.
Nice. What are some ways that you have worked to bring your intuition to the forefront?
I think one of the most powerful ways that worked for me, and other people may find something that works for them, mine has been I try to write every day. One of my favorite books is called The Artist's Way. And
yes, by Julia Cameron.
Yes. I love that book. She encourages you to go for a slow meditative walk every day and to just write 3 pages every morning. And not necessarily to do it with purpose or intent, but just to do it. And this act of writing for me has been therapeutic in some cases. Other cases, it's been full of really powerful blog ideas. Sometimes, there's questions that I'll write down that weeks or months or 5 years later it answered. So, when I can go back and look at entries in my journaling where I've written down goals and, you know, a year or two, 5 years down the road, I can see that I've accomplished those goals because I listened to my intuition. That's a really, really powerful motivator, and it builds trust in yourself to listen to that.
Right. And building trust is what so many people don't think it comes on to the radar a lot of the time, that we need to build trust within ourselves before we can build trust within anyone else.
Yeah, exactly.
I know for myself, you know, one of the ways to build that trust is to actually follow through on what you say you're going to do for yourself.
Yes, that is a very, that's powerful advice.
And with being a single mom or a solo mom, how are you cultivating the potential within your daughter? How are you working with her so that as she grows older, there's no doubt in her mind, you know, what she's actually capable of, because she is capable of anything, really.
Yeah. I chuckle because my daughter wants to be many things. And I think one of the ways currently that I'm encouraging is she really likes to watch toy review videos on YouTube. And she sees other people doing it, and of course she wants to do it. So as an activity, as a family activity, we will go pick out a toy and we'll record, you know, her opening it. And I encourage her, you know, I don't tell her what to say. She's really funny. She comes up with, you know, the funniest things. And I think the one way parents could probably encourage potential in their kids, it may sound simple, it may kind of rub you the wrong way, but I think saying yes more than you say no in a healthy way is one of the best ways to cultivate not only a relationship of trust and joy and curiosity between the two of you, but also tap into their potential for learning, their potential for growth, and I see it.
Nice. So she's an entrepreneur right from the get-go, it sounds like.
Yeah. I am not going to lie, that makes me very happy.
That's awesome. So are you going to help her do her own videos?
Yeah. We've recorded a couple. I'm just working on the editing. She decided to name her own show. Anytime she wants to do a show, I will take time out of my day to help her and encourage her in that way.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, you know, we will, we look forward to the day where she comes on our show and tells us how she unleashed her extraordinary potential.
Oh, believe me, she will give you quite a wonderful earful.
Yes, probably a wonderful and honest earful, too. Knowing
yep.
kids the way I do, at least they tell it the way it is.
Exactly.
So, Sarah, once again, if our audience wants to get in touch with you, what is the best way for them to do that?
You can go to the blog. I'm working on a redesign right now, but you can leave your email there, and I can let you know when it's relaunched. SingleMomSurvivalGuide.com. You can also find me on Facebook. If you type in the search, Single Mom Survival Guide, and I will pull up.
Perfect. And, you know, for everyone listening, Sarah has some really unique and amazing resources. Her life has been filled with unique circumstances, and she really has learned to survive. So please log on to her website and start a conversation with her. I'm all about really starting conversations within your own communities so that no one has to feel alone or isolated, and secrets start losing their power when we talk about them. Anything you want to say before we close out, Sarah?
Just thank you so much for having me on, Jessica. It was really great to talk to you again. We talked about some great things, and I look forward to listening to more of your shows and interviews.
Thanks, Sarah. So just so you know what to expect in the next coming weeks, we have a lot of really fantastic guests joining us at Unleash Your Extraordinary Potential, and we will really be exploring how people, big and small, have found the way to unleash their own extraordinary potential and the tools they have used to do that. I hope you all have a fantastic day, and we will talk to you later. Bye for now, Sarah.
Bye, Jessica.